In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about prep work that we're doing for the NFB's annual Washington seminar. This year, it's going to be virtual. I'll also talk about my computer conundrum in our living room. I need one, but it's not that easy.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 110 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, and I'm going to try and keep it brief again. Let's see how that works out. I know it hasn't in the past, but I only have a couple of things to talk about. It's another solo episode, and I'll tell you why in a couple of minutes. The couple of things that I want to talk about, not really related, but it's things that have me thinking all week long since I last recorded a podcast episode. And I'm recording this late at night on the 27th of January. And I'll get into why, because I'm not getting a lot of computer time during the day. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But before I get into that, I want to mention what I've been doing as far as National Federation of the Blind stuff goes. And anybody who has worked with or volunteered for or has done anything in a nonprofit and for an organization, there's always a whole bunch of stuff going on. And this is the time of year that the NFB, the National Federation of the Blind, gets ready for Washington Seminar. And what that is, it's where a whole bunch of blind folks get together in Washington. They have a big meeting the first night. It's called the Great Gathering. And they usually have a senator or a representative talking to us about stuff that's going on. They've been great speakers the last couple of years. It's been awesome. And it's packed. I mean, the room is packed. There's like 500 people. And there's usually not that much room in the giant ballroom that we have. So there's usually spillover rooms where watch on closed circuit. But, I mean, we're blind, so we're just really listening, right? And last year, as a matter of fact, I stood all the way in the back of the room, and I had, you know, I couldn't see who was what, and you know, but again, I was just there to listen, so it didn't matter. And so this year, obviously, it's a little bit different, and it's where we go. The NFB comes up with an agenda of things that they need to either fix or have, I guess fix is the best word, you know, where we have to advocate for ourselves. And some of the things this year, there's something that's been proposed, and it's been on the agenda for the last few years, the Access Technology Affordability Act, where would give folks who are blind a $2,000 tax break over the course of 3 years to buy technology that allows them to either have a job or go to school or whatever. And, you know, the stuff is not cheap. Everything that you use, for example, as a blind student, my friend Simon uses this thing called a Braille Note or something like that. And it's this device. It's a little bit smaller than a laptop, but it's how he takes notes and he types on it, not like a traditional keyboard, that he can then feel, you know, with the Braille, you know, what he's written down as he's going through everything. It costs like $5,000 or $6,000. You know, if you're a sighted student, you go to Staples, you buy a pen, you buy a notebook, and you're out a few bucks. You know, you don't need to finance that. But a blind student needs that. And there's other things. I mean, when you're talking about a blind student, you're probably looking at somewhere around $10,000 worth of technology just to put them on the same playing field as a sighted student. So that's one of the things that, and there was a bill introduced last year. I don't remember the number. This year, it's H.R. 431. It's already been introduced in the House. There hasn't been a Senate companion come up yet, but hopefully that'll happen. And last year there was one of each, but it just never came to a vote. I know there were a lot of co-sponsors, both in the House and the Senate, and so this one has already dropped, the H.R. 431. So that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about. And there's some other things, you know, medical devices. You know, if you can't see, how do you do a blood pressure monitor or diabetes monitor or whatever, any kind of healthcare, home healthcare stuff? you know, if you need some help, then you're not independent. You can't do it on your own because this stuff isn't accessible. And that at one point last year, the last couple of years, that had been lumped in with other household equipment, you know, microwave ovens, washing machines, and so forth. And I know I've complained about both of those a lot. And my microwave here at our house is not accessible. And our stove is not accessible. You know, and there's touch screens. And our washer, we haven't tried the app yet, so I don't know how accessible that is. And I'll get into VoiceOver in a few minutes. But Washington Seminar, I always love going down there. You know, I can go on my own. I get to the train station in Swarthmore where I live. It's only about a mile from our house. And I get the train into Philly and then from Philly down to DC. Usually there's some time at the beginning where I can do a little sightseeing, or on the last day, if I'm not included in the meetings with the senators, aides, then, you know, I have the whole morning before my train heads from DC back to Philly. And, you know, and I usually schedule that so, you know, it's on Liz's way home so she can just stop by and pick me up. So I try to make it work out that way. And so I have a good chunk of the morning and early into the afternoon before I have to get to the train station to catch the train back to Philly. So I always try to do something touristy, whether it's, you know, one year I went with one of my NFB Keystone Chapter member friends. We went to the Washington Memorial, Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, and Capitol, and, you know, just to take some pictures. And again, sounds funny, blind guy taking pictures. I love taking pictures. You know, I don't know how good they are, and I get mad when they're not. If something isn't centered or it's a little crooked, I get mad at that. But I can't usually tell until I look at it on a big screen, like my computer monitor or the TV. You know, when you mirror your phone on, you know, through Apple TV, you know, I get mad. Like I was complaining about a picture the other day I took of the dog, and it wasn't perfect. You know, I cut off a little bit of his paw, and just a teeny tiny bit, maybe just a nail. And Liz was making fun of me because it wasn't exactly perfect. And I was mad. I mean, it's a good picture, though. And you can check that out on Instagram at David Benj. Or I also posted that one at both our accounts. You know, Ziggy and the Man, Ziggy, ZiggyMan, or at David Benj, also both on Instagram. And that picture is there because he was 10 weeks old yesterday. And I'll get into Ziggy in a minute. But this year for Washington Seminar, it's different because it's going to be virtual. So, you know, there's a lot of different things going on because usually we're set up in, you know, 3 or 4 person teams to go into, you know, because we're part of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania, you go and talk to representatives from Pennsylvania. So usually you have one person in the group has this representative and one or two people in the group have this other representative. And then sometimes you go where there's not, you know, nobody that's in that congressional district, but you just go and, you know, you're going to, you know, lobby the, you know, the rep for, you know, the stuff that's on the agenda. And, you know, it's always important. And does it always come to fruition? No, not usually. But, you know, every year we fight for things that we need. And again, you know, it's always a lot of fun. I learn a lot of stuff. I get to see some things. Last year I went to the American Jewish War Museum, which was very interesting. And I had gone there in hopes of maybe showing if they, you know, loaning a shadow box of stuff that my mom put together from when my dad was a POW, you know, and it was a very small place. So I, you know, there's a museum in Philadelphia that may be better suited for that. So I enjoyed my day there. But I wasn't gonna offer it there. I'd rather go to some Jewish American museum in Philadelphia that, you know, might be better suited for, and then I could at least go and see it whenever I wanted to. But we'll see. I haven't done anything in a while for that. So, but it's always fun. We go out to dinner, you know, sometimes with people, in the Keystone chapter, sometimes other people from the NFB of Pennsylvania, and sometimes, you know, it's a mix of people from Pennsylvania and some other states. Last year, I went to a restaurant with some folks from the Greater Philadelphia chapter, and there were some people from, one person was from Virginia, and there was a few people from Maryland, and a couple people from Georgia. So that was a lot of fun, and it was a great restaurant. It was called Ooze and Oz, which, if you watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, was a place that Guy went to for mac and cheese, and it was just outstanding. So that's, you know, I'm going to miss that. But, you know, so because it's virtual this year, it's just very different. And it's kind of sad because I always look forward to going down to Washington and doing this. So hopefully next year it'll be back where we can go in person. But there's just been a lot of prep, a lot of, you know, doing role playing. And, you know, you never know what the congressperson is going to say when you bring up these different things. You kind of anticipate, but you just don't know. They might be really for it, or they might say, you know what, this is horrible. It would cost people in my district too much money, or it won't help enough people, or whatever. You know, you just don't know. So we've been preparing for that, and it's just been very interesting preparing for that, because it's just, like I said, so different. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about today has been, it's kind of a Ziggy update and a conundrum for me. And again, just like I was mentioning with the technology that a blind student needs over a sighted student needing just a, you know, legal pad and a pen, you know, when we got Ziggy, we knew that the only time he was going to be in the crate or cage was going to be overnight until he was potty trained. And, you know, once he was done being potty trained, you know, as we did with Zamboni, we took the door off and he could go in and out as he wanted. And maybe that's where he would sleep at night. Maybe it wouldn't be. Maybe he, you know. So it's been difficult because he hasn't come down to the basement level where Studio B is. That's what the B is in Studio B, basement. And, you know, as I mentioned last week, it's not very puppy proof because we still have a lot of stuff in boxes. The floor is horrible, as I've mentioned, because it was okay before they got done doing the work. But, you know, they didn't really keep it clean when they, you know, so they're spackling all over the floor and paint all over the floor. It just wasn't, you know, I think the contractor thought we were immediately going to get carpet, and we were hoping to leave the floor with whatever the coating is. I don't know if it's a tile or a, you know, or treatment. You know, at this point, we're going to have to get something to cover it up, whether it's carpeting or some sort of laminate or whatever. So I don't know what's on the floor. So we've got to run a vacuum over it, and we've got to put some things away, because there's, you know, as anybody who's had a puppy, if there's something for them to find, they will find it. And we found that out just in our backyard with him going after wood chips and all sorts of other things like that. You know, little pebbles. You know, we've had some trash blow into our yard because, as I've mentioned before, the fence along the back is very low and it's not a solid fence. It's like a, as I mentioned, kind of like a barbed wire fence without the barbs. And it's only about 2.5-3 feet tall. So we're getting that replaced, you know, in 6 to 8 weeks or so, we've been told. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, if they could find something, if there's something they shouldn't have, they'll find it. And that's, you know, there's too many things in the office that, Studio B, that they will, that he could find. So once we get that taken care of, hopefully he can come down more. The other thing, as I mentioned also, our stairs coming down to our basement are, you know, kind of steep. They're wooden with a metal plate right at the end, like a non-slip metal, you know, it's got ridges. So it's kind of tricky coming down for me even, because it's hard to see. And then the railing, it's just a railing. There's no spindles or anything. So, you know, once it opens up after the wall from the first level, it opens up. So he could just go right off like the fourth or fifth step down. And he started to come down today. I tried to work with him on it. and it made me nervous. And then he stopped. He got a little scared. So we, you know, I picked him up and we went back up. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to pick him up and carry him around, because it's unbelievable how he's growing right in front of our eyes. You know, we've had him 17 days, and it's just amazing how much bigger he is now than when we brought him home. So the conundrum is, you know, I can't use a laptop because I can't see it. And as I've mentioned, I don't want to say a hybrid of voiceover, but I use what's called text-to-speech. I don't use voiceover on a computer. And so I was hoping that I could use an iPad that Jane had from when she was in school that has a keyboard on it. It's really nice. It almost feels like a laptop, but, you know, basically a laptop with a touchscreen. Problem is, Jane's use of it was when she was a senior in high school, which wasn't yesterday. It was 6 years ago. So, you know, she's been out of college. This spring is 2 years out of school. So maybe even more than over six years ago, she used this iPad. So it just wasn't working right. And as I've mentioned before, and as anyone who uses technology doesn't always work the same. And sometimes there's conflicts. Well, voiceover, there's always conflicts. And so I was trying to use it the other day. So I'm trying to use this, you know, 2014 version of this iPad that, you know, I'm, you know, with, you know, an iPad, you touch it, you know, you want something to go, you touch the button and boom, it makes it work. And when with voiceover, so you touch the button and you hear what it is, and then you lift your finger up if you want to do it. If you don't, you move your finger and feel around for something else. And then once you find what you want, you lift up and it does whatever, or it reads whatever. So I'm touching the screen and it's not saying anything. And then 5 or 8 seconds later, it says what I'm touching. So it was just running slowly. The keyboard didn't work very well. I'm trying to type in a password and, you know, I'm typing fairly quickly. I don't type as great as I used to, you know, but I've been typing, you know, since I was in middle school, you know, not on computers. I mean, I guess they had them. I guess they had them. Then I'm not 100% sure. You know, we learned on typewriters, both in high school and in middle school. So, you know, so I'm typing my password in, and I, of course, I can't see the key. So I'm typing it in, and I'm going my normal, you know, my normal speed, but I'm not hearing the corresponding clicks. Like I'm typing, you know, a couple of things, you know, like I'm typing my name, David. And I'm only hearing, you know, I'm typing DA and I only hear one click. So I'm thinking, did it get both letters and I only heard the one? Or, you know, so I was having issues logging into things. So it just wasn't working out. So I'm trying to figure out a solution that I can use some sort of computer on the main level of the house without having to take my iMac from Studio B / my office downstairs and putting it somewhere up there. You know, we've considered at some point we're going to have to get a computer for Liz because we need a new version of QuickBooks. The version of QuickBooks she's using, you know, I think still uses Slate tablets. Okay, it's not that bad. you know, she doesn't have a proper computer. She's been using a computer from work, which is the Walden School, but, you know, we can't put, you know, our own private software on there. And, you know, so I considered trying to use that computer, at least testing out whether if I use that and then we mirror the screen using Apple TV and I put it on, you know, the TV in our living room, I don't know if the resolution is good enough. But then, of course, that would mean I'd have to get in and change some of the accessibility features. You know, I use, as I've mentioned, you know, I like to reverse the screen so it's a black background and, you know, white text and so forth and so on. So, you know, trying to figure that out. If that works, which we're going to try this weekend, if that works, that would be great. Otherwise, you know, we've considered getting a Mac Mini that, you know, we have a wireless keyboard for, and, you know, when Liz is going to use it, you know, we find a place to put a monitor that she could use, I just don't know where that could go in our living room. Our living room is small. Our house is small. It's not huge, and it's fine. I that doesn't matter. But for this, we don't have desk space in our living room, and there's no place in our kitchen to put it. They're the only two rooms on our main level. You know, the foyer. You can't put a computer there, can you? So my computer time has just been down dramatically because, you know, Liz is at work all day. Jane is at work all day. You know, Jacob works most days. He doesn't work on Mondays usually, but, you know, so I am the one that watches the dog. So once Liz gets home, because Liz gets home, you know, Jane usually works until 6 or 7 o'clock, and she'll yell at me for saying that. And as I've mentioned before, you know, she only gets paid till 5:30, you know, so it's technically overtime, and don't even get me started with all that. But, you know, it's, you know, she wants to get stuff done, and I get it. It's got to get done. So I'm the one all day long that quote unquote takes care of the dog. And, you know, let's face it, some of that, a good chunk of that is, you know, playing with the dog and, you know, socializing with him and watching him run around the backyard like a lunatic, which is just outstanding when he runs in the back and gets a wood chip that he knows he's not supposed to have. And then I pretend to run after him, so he runs around. And when I catch him, if he doesn't run around, I take the wood chip away. That's his penalty. As I mentioned, when we got him, it's, you know, the cage and crate are not for punishment. It's until he's potty trained. And, you know, usually the way the day goes, once I get up and I'm out of the shower and downstairs, usually, you know, somewhere in the 9 o'clock hour, usually around 9:30, I'm on dog duty at that point. I am from then until Liz gets home, because even on her long day, she's home 5:30, 6 o'clock. But then, you know, obviously I want to talk to Liz for a little while. But, you know, do I talk to Liz for a little while or longer than a little while and then give up some computer time? And, you know, emails are piling up on non-important email accounts, but there's still ones that I have to check. You know, the main email accounts that I have, I use my iPhone for. But, you know, as I've mentioned, I have around 15 email accounts that go into my inbox on my computer, and I only have 4 on my phone because the others are just not that important to put on. And I've considered putting a couple more on my phone just so, you know, just kind of to alleviate, you know, all the backup that, because when I do get to the computer, then I'm spending all this time just going through emails, and, you know, so I'm not getting other stuff done. And there's just stuff that I like to do on the computer more so than, you know, using the phone. So it's just been, that part has been difficult. And, and that being said though, you know, yeah, it's just outstanding having the dog, you know, watching him run around, like I said, in the backyard and playing with him inside, and, you know, just watching him grow. And tomorrow is his first, on the day that this episode drops, his first vet appointment. So I'm interested to see what they say. It's a new vet for us. The one that we used when we had Zamboni it's just too far away, as much as we liked him. And don't get me wrong, if we don't like this vet, you know, we will certainly consider driving there. And again, I'm not driving, so it's, you know, it would be up to Liz. But this one is very close to our house. It's just in Wallingford, a neighboring town here in southeastern Pennsylvania. So it's close by, and hopefully it goes well. And he loves going. Ziggy loves going as much as Zamboni does, because Zamboni loved going to the vet. It is just so weird. He was so excited to go, and he just loved to be around folks. And I guess that was it. And, you know, to touch on that, and maybe it's just the golden retriever's nature to be friendly to folks. Our neighbor next door, her name is Rosine. And she saw me and Ziggy out in the backyard the other day. She said, "Oh, he's so cute." And, you know, she's going on. And he runs right over to her. She didn't come in the backyard, but she was up against the fence. And he's jumping up and wants to meet her. And you know, she's speaking French. She's originally from France. She's speaking French to him. They're planning on, they're maybe my age or a little bit older. They're planning to move to Jacksonville. He's had a house down there. I may have mentioned it. He has a house down there that that was rented by a player on the Jaguars, actually. So they're planning to move back in a year or two, And once they move, she told me they were going to get a dog. And she also mentioned that he was so different from the previous dog that lived here, whose name was Cooper. That dog, she said, was kind of afraid of a lot of things. So, you know, maybe it was a rescue. Maybe there were some other issues going on there. But Ziggy just loved folks, loves to, you know, when he got mad, he saw the male, our male gal walk away. That's her term for herself. We gave her a gift at Christmas time, and she wrote us a thank you note, and she wrote her name. Her name is Karima. And she said, "Karima, your male gal." So she saw, or he saw her walking down the sidewalk after she dropped mail off at our house today. And he just was whining a little bit and sad that she was leaving. He hasn't met her yet. So, you know, again, he hasn't had any shots, second round of shots or third round or however many they have, you know, so there's a couple of things that, you know, that we don't take him out. We haven't taken him around the neighborhood yet. And we are planning to do that, but to carry him until he has all his shots by the time he's like 16 weeks. Maybe we'll carry him around a little bit, let him have a look around. He gets a good look out our front window because we have the, you know, big windows, and so he loves sitting there watching the crossing guard with the kids in the afternoon. And the cars go by and the people on the sidewalk and stuff like that. So he just seems to be, you know, he just seems like Zamboni was. He just seems like he's going to be, very friendly to folks. So we'll have to see how that goes. But, some of the stuff that he does and, you know, that he doesn't do, you know, he's getting to the point where he's so close to being able to jump up on our coffee table in our living room. He's very close to jumping up on our couches, both of which Liz doesn't want. And I get it. And I sometimes put him on my lap while I'm watching TV. I know that at some point he's going to be too heavy for me to sit there with him. So it's just been a blast watching him. And, again, you can follow him on, Instagram. Ziggy and the Man is where I post for him. He certainly doesn't know how to post. So I have to tell you, he loves my phone. When I take my phone out and he hears VoiceOver start, he stops whatever he's doing and he comes over and he starts putting either his mouth on the corners of the phone, or he just starts hitting his hitting his nose against the screen. So, and it's funny because, you know, with VoiceOver and, you know, with any iPhone, you know, things would go on, but with VoiceOver, no matter what you hit, if I've got it opened, you know, it says something. It'll say, you know, what app it is, or if it's text messages, it'll read a text message. So it's kind of funny how he kind of is drawn to the phone. It'd be interesting to see if he could actually use it. I was showing him, or Jane was showing him, I guess, a TikTok of a dog doing something the other day. And it's funny how he was paying attention for a little bit. And then he started to try to bite the phone. It's also funny, as we're watching TV, sometimes he'll walk past the TV and he'll stop and he'll sit down and he'll watch for a little bit. And that is hysterical. He really, I don't know if he likes it. I don't know if it's because of all the movement. When I am watching football, he will stop and sit and he'll stay. That's been the longest that he sat for. I haven't tried other sports yet. I tend not to watch hockey on TV because of the glare. Is, you know, as I've mentioned before, I don't see a lot of things, but glare I see very well. So I don't tend to watch too much hockey on TV because of that. Obviously in the playoffs, I'll watch a little bit more and deal with it. But, soccer, you know, when I watched the Premier League, he didn't seem too interested in. Baseball, I don't know. I don't think there's enough movement in that for him to be interested. And I'm not a big basketball fan, so I don't think he'll be following that, but who knows? You know, I might have it on one day and he watches. But it is very interesting to watch him grow. And again, you know, some of the things that a sighted person would take for granted, you know, hey, you get a dog, you can't go down to an office where your computer is. Oh, you just sit in the other room with the laptop and you can do it. I can't at this point. And I'm hoping that at some point I will learn VoiceOver properly. But like I mentioned with the iPad, you know, VoiceOver is not, you know, it causes other issues. And listening to other podcasts dealing with blindness, you know, they talk about some of them, you know, any kind of, one app might not work well with it. and, you know, talking about the iPad or the iPhone. So, you know, I'm sure there are those same things with, you know, with a MacBook or a MacBook Pro or whatever, you know, that crop up. So, you know, I just know that there's things that I have to do during the day, keyword research for some websites I'm working on, and, you know, just going to Fiverr and placing that order for the for the intro, which I have the page open. I've had it open 3 days here on this computer, and other things have just gotten in the way. You know, that I'd like to be able to do, you know, while I'm sitting up there and maybe he's napping. I mean, it's getting to the point where today, for example, he was very, very active, and, you know, I was with him, you know, probably spent a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours outside off and on throughout the day, and, you know, and then playing with him inside, and, you know, all the other stuff that goes on with it. So when he lays down for a minute, you know, it'd be nice to be able to, you know, get a few things done. So we'll see how that goes. And if you have any ideas, I'd really be interested in hearing from you. Again, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com if you want to shoot me an email if you have an idea. Again, we're going to try the Apple TV screen mirroring thing with Liz's laptop over the coming weekend, and we'll see how that goes. And hopefully that'll work, because I'm very hopeful for that. And or again, you know, if you have an idea you don't want to email, give me a call, 646-926-6350. Anything idea-wise would be helpful if I could get back on the computer during the day. And again, those same places you can contact me if you've got show ideas. Again, until I get the computer thing situated and some time, once we maybe bring him either down into the office or whatnot, once we get it puppy proofed enough. Again, the stairs are a little bit hairy for him at this point, so it's probably not going to be for a few weeks. You know, I can't schedule these interviews with other podcasts, so for other podcasts. So, you know, for the time being, it looks like it's going to be solo shows until we figure that out, unless the people are well outside my time zone, East Coast time, you know, where I can do them late at night, like I'm recording this. So please give me a buzz if you have some ideas. Shoot me an email. You can always connect on social with me at David Benj everywhere. And again, Ziggy and the Man on Instagram for pictures of Ziggy, sometimes with me, sometimes not. I really do appreciate you listening to this episode of the I Can't See You podcast. Please, if you're interested in coffee and you want to help out the Keystone chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania, please use my link, icantseeyou.com/coffee. I Can't See You sounds like a whole sentence. It's only 7 letters long, icantseeyou.com/coffee. That will give the Keystone chapter a commission, 10% commission, if you make a purchase at White Cane Coffee Company, a great organization started by a blind young woman out in Warren, Pennsylvania. She hires blind and other disabled folks to run her shop and do the shipping and work in the coffee shop that they have out there in Warren. And again, when you use my link to buy the coffee, which is outstanding, the coffee that is, the Keystone chapter will get a 10% commission, and that will help, since we've had some other fundraisers not work out because we can't meet folks face to face. But again, I do appreciate you listening today. Go to icantseeyou.com/coffee and buy some coffee. And I will talk to you next week. Please continue to stay safe and be well. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.